Good morning, 97.1. John, before the Tiger game, saw something else on my TV.
Yeah, it was the Little League World Series. This is something I always try and catch as much of as possible. It's so much fun. And you know, we talked about it last year with the Tigers playing in the Little League World Series game. That's really where we kind of point to that moment as it turned the tide for the Tigers. But for these kids, it's so much fun to watch. And before the game last night, ESPN had on the Little League World Series, or at least I think it's the regionals right now. One of the pitchers for East Texas, they were down 7-2, and he's on the mound. And they were talking about his knuckleball. And they were showing, and he's throwing the old school, you know, all four fingers knuckleball. And it was just dancing around. Kids couldn't hit it. It was magnificent. Now, there were some control issues as well. And they were down 7-2, but they made a great effort. With two outs in the bottom of the sixth, they score three runs, and then the little pitcher's at the plate. One runner on, could have hit a home run and tied it up, set it in extra innings, instead he grounds out. So it's a little anticlimactic. But the point was, he's throwing a knuckleball. That is as old school as it gets, throwing the knuckleball. That's as kids, we always used to sit there and throw knuckleballs and kind of watch it dance around. And we thought, you know, we got no control over this. I'm never going to throw it in a game. Here's a kid that's actually doing it and being productive on the mound. So what old school thing in sports would you like to see come back? Because you don't, every once in a while you hear them throwing a knuckle curve, but there's not a lot of knuckleball pitchers. I know that there's one in the Tigers, and I can't remember his name right now, in the farm system that throws a knuckleball that it seems like nobody can hit. You see those catcher's gloves that are, you know, catching knuckleball pitchers, and they're gigantic mitts.
Well, I remember like when Tim Wakefield would pitch for the Boston Red Sox, right. You have a special catcher for it. Not only the mitt, but a catcher. Yes. Right now, I quick Google says Matt Waldron is the only knuckleballer in the majors right now, and he's with the Padres. It's a lost art.
It is, and it's one of those pitches, whenever there's a knuckleball pitcher on the mound, I like to tune in because it's so rare, and it's so strange to watch that ball go from the pitcher's hand to the plate, because you really have no idea where it's going. Neither does the catcher, and I'm not sure how much the pitcher knows either. The batter certainly don't know.
No idea. So in sports, old school stuff you want to see come back. We've seen a little bit of this in the NFL, the like run game renaissance.
Yeah, we saw it last year, obviously, with Saquon. We've had it here with Sonic and Knuckles. Derrick Henry has been that guy. He was that guy for the Titans. Now he's that guy for the Ravens.
The Bills leaned on a heavy ground. In fact, four of the top five teams in the NFL, I think, are teams that have heavily gone to the ground game.
And those guys are all wanting new deals. Well, except for our two right
yet,
now.
Yet.
Yes.
It's just, does that mean we're going to get a fullback resurgence at some point here?
I would love to see the fullback make a comeback. and it was just what's his name? He was in San Francisco. Jasinski or?
Juszczyk.
Yeah, it was close.
Had a J in it.
Yeah, it was tomato, tomato. It's all how you pronounce it.
I know who you meant. They use him creatively. It's not just like, hey, put on the neck roller and run into somebody.
Yeah, I would absolutely love to see the resurgence of the fullback. Michigan has it a little bit in Max Bredesen. You know, where he goes, the ball goes, yeah. And heavy damage occurs. But that's just kind of one of those things where when you have that lead back, because you don't ever see two backs in the backfield anymore, where it's a power eye formation and that fullback goes at a 24 blast. I would love to see that come back into the NFL.
Because the Eagles don't really use a fullback. We don't really use a fullback. The Ravens don't need to because Derrick Henry is a running back and a fullback in one.
Yes.
That'd be an old school.
So that'd be
thing.
One. Yeah. An old school. I would love to see. Okay, I know 2 points is not 3 points, but post play in the NBA.
Oh, the low post.
A little hook shot. Yeah, drop step.
The problem is they've run the numbers. They crunched the numbers. Right, I know. It's a wasted.
But I'd still love to see.
It's an art form, though.
Research. It is an art form. And I'm not talking about the sky hook from Kareem. Like, that would be awesome.
Am I doing a show with Stoney here?
Yeah.
George Mikan. We need to get back.
Oh, come on. Yeah, the old Mikan drill. It's good. No. All it is a conditioning drill now.
Yeah, no, at this point. I mean, but like Hakeem Olajuwon had a real skill set, right? I mean, yeah. When he got the ball on the low block, there was an array of moves. Guys, there's no incentive to even learn that anymore.
No.
It's a lost art.
It is. It's a lost art because it's a lost part of the game. And just like the fullback, it's a lost part of the game. And the game, all the games have progressed, right? And they found other ways to be productive. And obviously, hey, the forward pass, eventually it was going to take away some of the running game, and it has.
Well, and teams have gotten good about, if we do wider formations, spread out formations, right. It lightens the box. Well, the counterpunch is, we're going to run it.
Yeah.
But what they're not going to do is get back into super tight formations. It's just the evolution.
Right. And I talk about Max at Michigan, and you know, he's more of what they classify now, not a fullback, but an H-back.
Yeah.
Right? Where they can line him up as a tight end. They can line him up in the backfield. They put him in motion. They don't just set him right behind the quarterback and say, hey, you know, C-34, put your helmet right between his numbers. So they're using guys in different ways that would have typically been your fullback.
How about this one? The resurgence of the return man in the NFL.
I think we're going to see more of that with the tweaks that they've made to the kickoff rule.
Well, they're
rule.
Hoping. I mean, that's Jason and Lyndon's ticket text. The idea, they want to tell you now, you have to kick it to the returner. Mm-hmm. And if you kick it out of the end zone, it's the 35-yard line now.
Yes. So which really, changes the game.
They're saying, hey, you better let that return guy make something happen.
Because the excitement that comes from taking it to the house.
So to me, I think of Devin Hester.
Oh, sure.
And I think of how much fun that was in the game of football and how it's nothing like it without him or those plays.
And it's really, I mean, it's like you take out the fullback, you don't use a roster spot on it. And for a while there, why would you waste a roster spot on a guy that his number one skill set is being able to return kicks, where he's just back there watching it sail over his head
right
out of the back of the end zone? Now all of a sudden you have a job opening because, hey, if this is your one skill set and you're really good at it, you could change the game for us. Even if it doesn't go to the house, but if you can return one 45, 50 yards, you know, get it to the other side of the 50-yard line, now all of a sudden you've changed the game. It's created excitement. It's back in the NFL.
We saw a knuckleballer in some of the Little League games.
Yeah.
Want to know about
Texas East Lawmen. Great name.
What do you want to see old school make its way back to the new school? 248-539-9797. Collisions at home plate from an unnamed texter.
I mean, being the meathead that I am, obviously, yes. And there's the whole can't block home plate as a catcher is really an awkward rule, because there's been some times where they've called that this year. In fact, there was a game that was won. Was it the Phillies? I can't remember who it was. It doesn't matter. That I thought catcher's not blocking home plate. But however the rule is written,
yeah,
they were. And I know for the safety of the catcher, for the safety of the runner, there could be some catastrophic injuries, but God, those were awesome
epic,
impacts.
Epic plays.
What about the surprise bunt every once in a while? I miss that.
You're saying like bunting to get on base?
Yes. Defense is playing at average or, you know, bigger depth or whatever. Yeah. Do one. Lay
so
it down.
We saw a whole bunch of those when they were running those Ichiro Suzuki highlights. He was maybe the last guy that would utilize that, and he was so good at it.
Yeah, it's like especially fast guys. Like I understand why Parker Meadows wouldn't bunt once in a while.
Long strides, lefty.
Down the third base line and
yep.
Average depth, he's on no matter what.
It's a good one. Ticket texters saying old school NBA defense. Bring that back. Hey, the Pistons are doing their part. They're trying.
Yeah.
I want the trapezoid gone in hockey on the ticket text. Punishing goalies who can play the puck. Fighting in hockey. They want to see more fighting back in the sport.
That's one I would love to see. And again, I get player safety and head injuries, which is why you don't have the impacts at home. That's part of the reason, you know, in terms of, you know, somebody coming home and the collisions at home plate, fighting in hockey. That is for some fans why they watch.
See, I think the fighting,
or why they used to watch.
The fighting when it's like real animosity. Like, we got a taste of that with the Avs and the Wings, where you know the backstory and there's history and you're waiting for a moment where someone takes liberties. When it's just fighting to fight, it's not quite the same.
So it's like yesterday when I was around Darren McCarty.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, Jack he wasn't even born yet, right? And I'm telling him all the stories about Darren, and it's... like, he's like, well, hockey's just not that way anymore. I'm like, yeah, I know. It used to be awesome. It used to be awesome. I'm like, go just, you know, ask him some questions about that and let him tell you some stories.
Oh, he'll tell stories.
Oh, yeah.
248-539-9797. Old school things you want to bring back. This one just says the Detroit Red Wings. More on the ticket text, your feedback.
I think that one was either written by you or your wife.
Did I tell you the story of that, by the way?
No.
So for the upcoming season, the home opener is there for full season ticket holders.
Right. Yeah. Oh, so you told me this. Yeah, you don't get it for half season.
No, we have the option to buy it. And she was like, after this off season, I don't want to buy the opener. She's more frustrated than I am.
Wow.
Anyway, we'll get some of your thoughts on this old school stuff that should make its way back into sports. Micah Parsons won't be a Lion, but he could end up being a problem for the Lions. We'll talk about that at 7:35. Get back into Tiger baseball as well as we keep rolling. It's 97.1. Tell you about KG Law. If you're injured in an auto accident, take control with Lawrence KG and his team. Personalized care, guidance, and full legal representation from the Michigan law firm that has won over 5,000 personal injury cases. 98% success rate, and KG Law knows how to win your case. It's simple as that. You want a law firm that cares, going to fight for you, go the extra mile. That's KG Law, KAJY. Phone number is 877-KG-CARES. You can check them out online, kgcares.com. One run's all they needed. Phillies 2-0 Sunday Night Baseball win. Talk Tigers 8 o'clock. Feel better or worse about the deadline after watching some of the guys this weekend. 7:35, Micah Parsons. No, he won't be a Detroit Lion, but he could be our problem. We'll get to that. He wants out of Dallas. John, we're talking old school right now. You saw a knuckleballer throwing for the Little Leaguers.
I know. It was a 12-year-old throwing a mean knuckleball.
Brought up fullbacks and real defense in the NBA. Things you want to bring back. Fighting in hockey. 248-539-9797. Matt in Ann Arbor. Good morning.
Good morning. Can you hear me okay?
We got you.
Hey, I like stirrup socks. You know, the old school used to put them on in high school. Got the big arch in the front. You got the smaller arch in the back. Don't want to put them on backwards. But got a nice clean pair of sanitaries underneath. Pull them up tight. I like the high sock. Don't like the Latino style with the pant leg too long. But baseball, crisp stirrup socks coming back would be great.
I agree with you, Matt. I think it's a great look. And I think even before that happens, I just would like the uniform to be as defined as uniform.
What do you mean?
So that everybody is wearing the – if you're on a team, everybody wears – the same style of uniform. If it's long pants, it's long pants. If it's, you know, below the knee, it's below the knee. And, you know, bring the stirrups back. I think it's a great look. I just don't like it. Every time somebody comes up to bat, it's a different look for every player. There's some guys that have it cropped above the knee and they're just wearing long tights as their socks.
Well, wasn't it Cabrera that had his underneath the heel? So he ran his legs super long around the cleats. So, I mean, it goes both ways.
Yep, it does.
Does it bother you guys have different accessories? Like, guy wants an elbow guard, or like in the NFL, someone wants to play with like the sleeves or...
Oh, no, I don't mind like the sleeves and stuff. But I just, if it's supposed to be a uniform and everybody's supposed to, you know, be looking the same, that's why there is a uniform policy in the NFL, right? You got to have your shirt tucked in. You got to have the right length of pants. You know, nobody wears knee pads anymore. Nobody wears thigh pads. I don't care about that, but it just, on appearance, it should look like it's all the same.
I mean, Carlos Santana of the Guardians is basically wearing compression shorts out there.
Right. That might be who I was referring to.
Some ticket techs. Bring back more manager-umpire arguments. Bring back steroids in baseball. Let's see those monster men blast homers into the middle of downtown, baby. Tech says get rid of the designated hitter in baseball and have pitchers bat again.
No. I don't think there's really anyone that wants that to come back.
Just this guy. Barefoot kickers, John in Sterling Heights.
All right, now I got something on this. In practice a few years ago, I didn't coach football, but it was before practice and we're fooling around with the kids out there. And I took my sandal off and kicked one barefooted, punted it.
Did you break your toe?
No, because I used to do it as a kid for fun. And it was like, it stung a little bit, obviously. They looked at me like they never see, like.
Yeah, what are you doing? Oh, he's trying to prove he's tough. Yeah. I could do it barefoot.
And then also back just to the knuckleball, the original. I've actually thrown a few at the kids just from time to time just to screw with them.
Yeah, I do it with my kids all the time. Just even if we're playing catch, right, I'll throw them a knuckleball at the plate every once in a while, like I'm throwing BP. It's harder for me to do with Ellie because everything is underhand and I got no control that way. But when Jack's at the plate, about every, I don't know, 1 out of 10, I do throw a knuckleball.
Quick phone call, Noah Goodrich. Good morning. You're on 97.1.
Oh, good morning, guys. How's it going?
Good.
What's up?
Awesome. Well, I want to bring back the traditional starter. I'm a Division I baseball player at Cornell University, and all that I've been taught since I was 16 is to let the numbers on the iPad tell you whether it's a good pitch or not. And I think that's definitely found its way into Major League Baseball, and that's why we're seeing guys who are so talented like Jacob Mizorowski who are being held to, 75-pitch pitch counts because they throw – everything's 100 miles an hour, and that's great, but if you're only effective for 12 outs out of the game, how effective really are you?
Trust me, I've been beating that drum for a while.
Preaching to the choir over there.
Yeah. I would love to see we're never going to have a Nolan Ryan. A guy that is just an Iron Man into his 40s, but am I missing somebody, Greg?
No, I mean, can I have Justin Verlander or a guy like that? I mean, right. He didn't go as long or as Nolan Ryan went, but he was a guy who was efficient and could
go through a complete game
longer. Yes.
Yeah. Meanwhile, Scooble only went 98 pitches on Saturday,
right? Which nullifies his efficiency.
Yeah, and really the value, but that's down the road. Let's get to Heather with the news.
So last week it was Pokemon cards, and this week it's comic books. Yes, police in Madison Heights are working to try to identify the person who broke into a comic book store, well, comics and more, and stole several valuable books. The robbery happened on Saturday morning. The thief was dressed in all black, smashed in the front door, got in there only for about 2 minutes, didn't spend a whole lot of time, maybe knew exactly where they were headed. I don't know if that's true or not, but went in there and stole 11 valuable graded books. The store owner, obviously quite upset, but says that he's disappointed to think that somebody in the community would have committed such a hateful crime and says, you know what? We're going to find you.
I hope they do.
Get them. I hope so, too. This is kind of cool. It's cool. It is cool. Amazon launching a drone delivery center in Pontiac with operations set to begin by the end of 2025. So they will basically deliver your package by drone if you live within a 7.5-mile radius of this facility in Pontiac. Right. So there's delivery zones in Auburn Hills, Bloomfield Township, Waterford, West Bloomfield. It depends where you are. And they say shoppers who qualify will see drone delivery or 60-minute delivery during your checkout on Amazon. So they say they're going to get your package there in under an hour.
Which is cool. And I think it would be cool to see the drones flying around.
Yeah, it's cool.
The question I have is, they obviously can't deliver anything fragile because I saw the example and it was like, on the back patio, they hovered about 10 feet above the ground and then launched it. And it,
there was no little parachute that,
parachute.
You know what I mean?
In
the little parachute lets it land
awesome
softly
if there was a
to
parachute
the
delivery. Yeah, yes. I got to imagine it's also like, okay, they're offering this unless it's got to be weather dependent as well. I mean, it
I
can't
guess
be
so.
High
I
winds.
Mean, drone. I don't. how big is this drone?
Or rain, you know, once you get your... They're well, not most dropping of those packages it off on are, your front porch.
If they're in the box, obviously, but if they're in those bags, they're kind of, I don't know, waterproof, but they don't let a lot of water in. I mean, I've had packages sit out in the rain for quite a while, and they're not soaking wet, so... Yeah. Interesting, though. Although, that'd be fun to see.
It's probably not a lot different. We had a package delivered. It was like an early Saturday morning. And instead of putting it by the front door or even by the side door underneath an overhang, they put it by the bushes. And they left it there. Thankfully, our sprinkler system had already gone off. And it wasn't, but it could have just been soaked. Mm-hmm. I think delivery drivers are someone getting a little bit lazy.
Well, maybe they're just being overworked. They have so many deliveries to deliver within so many minutes that they're like, oh my gosh, I'm not going to make my deadline. I'm just going to throw this by this bush and get out of here so I can get, you know, could be that too. Who knows?
Yeah.
Pretty scary moment that took place at the Katy Perry concert last night here in Detroit at Little Caesars Arena. A young girl collapsed on stage, had the opportunity handpicked by Katy Perry and her friend. I don't know if they were sisters or friends, but got picked to join the stage. Got up there. Pretty cool moment, right? With some other girls while Katy Perry was going to perform. They had shakers to kind of perform with her. And all of a sudden, this young girl just went down right there. Katy Perry was one of the first to notice. She and her crew, you know, rendered aid as quick as possible. The young girl had to be carried off on a stretcher. Thankfully, she's doing okay. As far as I know, Katy Perry must have gotten the word from somebody because as she was doing more of the concert and up on this butterfly that she flies over the crowd with, she did make it known that the young girl was doing great.
Good.
So it sounds like she's going to be okay. Tragedy struck at another concert in London, an Oasis concert. Did you hear about this?
No. What happened?
Happened on Saturday night. A fan fell to their death towards the end of this sold out show. Nobody actually saw this man fall. So there's no proof technically that he fell, but authorities say that all of his injuries were consistent with a fall, pronounced dead at the scene. Everything is under investigation. Police are hoping somebody with their phone out might have captured the fall, might have seen it. If you saw anything, to come forward and help shed some light on what exactly happened. Finally, if you throw an object onto the court during a WNBA game, you're going to get in trouble. You're going to be ejected. You could face a ban of 1 year and you could be arrested. A fan was arrested actually last Tuesday after throwing a sex toy onto the court. It was a game between the Atlanta Dream and Golden State Valkyries.
We've actually seen two.
Yeah, then it happened again days later on Friday. No word of the person who threw it Friday was arrested, too, but players are speaking out. Sky Center Elizabeth Williams basically said the person who's responsible, you need to grow up, and called it disrespectful and immature.
Both of those things.
It is both. I did see, probably fake, that you could bet on the odds of the color of the next object thrown onto the court.
Well, they were both green, so I'd go with that.
That's probably the heavy favorite. Mm-hmm. You want to look for some value.
What was the object?
Heather with the news.
Questions that I just like to ask.
You know what it was.
Oh, I haven't seen any of this.
Yeah, nobody believes that. Coming up next, Micah Parsons, Won't Be a Lion, Could Be Our Problem. It's 97.1.
Hey, Detroit, it's Heather. Did you know that military veterans in our area are holding on to millions in debt? That's why Verizon is partnering with the Detroit Lions to tackle it head on. At Verizon, they know how valuable veterans are. They employ over 8,000 of them, and they don't want to see veterans held back by financial debt. So they're stepping up, committing to eliminate up to $1 million in veteran debt in the greater Detroit area this year. Plus, for every Lions win, an additional $100,000 will be eliminated. And that's not all. Verizon is giving active military and veteran families a special mobile plan discount starting at just $25 per line a month for 4 lines on unlimited welcome. And they're backing it with a 3-year price lock guarantee. Verizon is freeing some of our best from financial burdens. Stop by a Verizon store to learn more and see how they're honoring our veterans today. Discount for personal lines only for military and veterans, approved verification documents required, auto pay and paper-free billing required. In times of congestion, your data may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Price guarantee applies to then current base monthly rate. Additional terms apply.
Dan Dickerson's call. We're talking Tiger baseball, 8 o'clock. Lost 2 of 3 over the weekend. Did get encouraging signs from Finnegan and Morton. So sum it up. feel better or worse after the deadline. We'll do that at 8 o'clock. John, Micah Parsons, there's always drama in Dallas. He's demanded a trade.
Mm-hmm. And he very eloquently put out a three-page screenshot of his notes on his phone about why, and he kind of ran through the entire list. And to try it, it's interesting too, because they've had a number of contract disputes. Dak Prescott a couple of times,
CeeDee Lamb.
I mean, like it has been something that has plagued Dallas. Ezekiel Elliott going, you know, if you want to go back that far.
What's the common denominator?
Jerry Jones.
Yep. And Micah says he didn't want to negotiate with his agent, which I don't know what planet Jerry's on. That's just kind of operating procedure in the NFL.
It sure is. And to think that in March, you had a conversation with your player. That's great. I love the communication between your general manager, who is Jerry Jones, and the player.
Yeah.
But for him to stand on the fact that, well, we came to an agreement, and the agent is just supposed to, you know, cross the T's, dot the I's. No, that's not how this goes. He has an agent, not like Lamar, where it was just him and his mom. Like, this is a situation where if he said, hey, I want, this is great. The parameters are here. The money is here. I want you to talk to my agent to finish negotiating.
Here's the other thing. If a deal's not signed and guys get paid more, the price goes up.
Yes.
So the price went up. Jerry doesn't like it. Now we've got this bickering and infighting, and Jerry says this is all part of negotiation. I don't know that he will be traded, John. What I do know is we're not going to waste our listeners' time by saying, should the Lions trade for Micah Parsons?
Yes, it's not happening.
You may have heard a conversation or two about adding an edge rusher of that caliber in the last calendar year. And what I mean by that is, yeah, we've talked Max Crosby. We've talked Myles Garrett. Briefly, a little TJ Watt, but even then we're like, Trey Hendrickson, we get it. That conversation's out there. I think we know where most people are at on it. It's unlikely. But, John, we can't have a conversation about Micah Parsons on the trade block, and it could impact the Detroit Lions indirectly.
Yeah, when you're talking about trading a player of that caliber who wants a new deal, it is going to be north of Max Crosby, Myles Garrett, Trey Hendrickson, if he ever signs a deal, or our very own Aiden Hutchinson. And that's an angle where, hey, if Micah Parsons signs a deal, or he's traded and signs a deal, then the price continues to go up for Aiden Hutchinson. But before we even get there, it's if Jerry Jones entertains a trade, where does Micah Parsons land?
One of the favorite landing spots for him would be a team with cash.
Well, yeah, and
in
so
contention,
there's
in the division.
Six teams that have cap space. And let me know, I'll start reading some of these off. Let me know if they affect the Lions or not.
Okay.
New England Patriots.
No.
Still got $60 million worth of cap space. The LA Chargers.
Probably not.
Probably not. The Raiders.
No.
Oh, it would suck because they would have the two elite edge rushers with Max Crosby and Micah Parsons. That would be a nightmare.
But not a problem this year for the Lions.
No. They still need to find an offense. Arizona Cardinals.
No, I don't think so. We don't play them. I don't think they're a contender.
No. And the New York Jets.
No. Same thing. Not a contender. AFC.
The sixth team that could possibly trade for and fit Micah Parsons under the cap because they don't have anybody else coming up to sign like an Aiden Hutchinson would be our friends on the other side of the pond, the Green Bay Packers.
Cheeseheads.
The Cheeseheads. Now, if he goes there, obviously that is one that you would have to contend with on a twice a year basis.
Or in three division, times.
Or yeah, possibly three if you see him in the playoffs. And okay, so you enter that conversation with Arizona. If they get him, do you face him in the playoffs? Again, that's more of a Kyler Murray and an offensive question, but for the Green Bay Packers, how concerned would you be as Lions fans if he ends up in Green Bay? Does it change the power struggle? Who holds the cards in the division if Micah Parsons ends up in Green Bay?
So this is not quite Reggie White, But this is a high impact.
Numbers are better than Reggie White in his first, 4 years.
Are they really? Because Reggie White was on fire out of the gate. Didn't Reggie White have like a 20 sack season?
So Micah Parsons is the only player in NFL history to have more than 12 sacks in his first 4 seasons. Reggie White first spent year one, not in the NFL.
Oh, well, that's the cute. Because I'm looking at Reggie White. I got 13, 18, 21, 18. He was all over the place.
Yeah, but his first year was not in the NFL. But so there's a little bit of a catch there.
Fine. But the point would stand. This is them adding a high-impact freak to their front that would cause problems for a Lions team that's got questions on their offensive line. Like, John, to me, the Packers are the biggest threat in division. Ben Johnson's got to rework the whole program. I'm not worried about them in year one. For as much as we've talked about the Lions with two new coordinators, Chicago has two new coordinators and a new head coach.
And a second-year quarterback.
Yeah, and a young guy who's still got to learn how to play in the NFL. Mm-hmm. The Vikings have a brand-new quarterback as well. To me, the Packers are the big threat. So if the biggest threat in your division adds one of the best defensive players in the NFL, it does end up on your radar. That becomes a concern.
I would argue, I still think Minnesota is the bigger threat in the division, and I understand. I just said Caleb Williams, second-year quarterback. Now you're looking at JJ going, it's really a first-year quarterback.
Yep.
But I think Kevin O'Connell is, and I know Dan Campbell has owned him.
Yep.
But Kevin O'Connell is a terrific coach. I think he is greater than Matt LaFleur.
So,
and I'm not a huge fan. I've kind of been steadfast on this. I don't think Jordan Love is ever going to be the guy that takes you to a division win or takes you to the ultimate heights in the postseason.
All I would point out is Jordan Love has at least won a playoff game.
Yes.
The Packers have beaten us more recently than Minnesota. Kevin O'Connell has lost 5 straight games straight up head-to-head with Dan Campbell, including some with big stakes at the end of last year. And Kevin O'Connell has never won a playoff game and is now breaking in a brand new quarterback. I think Green Bay is the number 2 team in this division, and if they added Micah Parsons, it would definitely reverberate. I mean, it would be a problem.
But if you put – well, we're not talking about putting Micah Parsons on Minnesota, but if you put him on Green Bay, I think the Lions right now have the ultimate cheat code in beating Micah Parsons, and that's Penei Sewell.
Right, but you can move Parsons around.
That's the threat, is that – especially if they use him like either the Jets or the Miami Dolphins used Jason Taylor, where he wasn't just a right defensive end. They used him as a right defensive end, a left defensive end. They used him, we called it a spinner, where they would line him up. They'd be walking him around, and he had a choice. Do I want to hit the left side A-gap, right side A-gap, B-gap on either side, or can I just decide that I want to go off the edge? Like,
right.
That is the threat of a defense that would use Micah Parsons that way.
And they'd be bookending him with Rashawn Gary, who's a quality defensive end. And I know we've been waiting for our team to put 2 quality defensive ends, one opposite Aiden. They would be doing that in Green Bay. Texter says the Raiders won't go after Parsons because no team needs 2 high-end pass rushers, signed Brad Cooking in the Kitchen. You knew we'd get some of that. 248-539-9797. It's 97.1.
At First Merchants Bank, they believe that the real value comes from building strong communities and even stronger relationships. They have a new branch opening in the Fitzgerald neighborhood of Detroit. First Merchants Bank is excited to offer a banking experience that's welcoming, attentive, and it's dependable. Their easy-to-use, secure, and highly rated app makes everyday banking a breeze, allowing you to manage your accounts on the go. And that's something that I use almost on a daily basis because it is so easy and it is secure. Their local attentive bankers are your partners in success, and they take the time to get to know you, give sound advice, and provide solutions that work for you. In fact, it's exactly what they've done for me over the years and for my family. So that's why they're my personal financial partner. With a passion for fostering community development, their team is committed to helping you and your neighborhood prosper. Experience the difference of banking with an award-winning bank that truly cares about your financial journey. All you have to do is visit firstmerchants.com/Fitzgerald to learn more about how they can help support you as well. That's firstmerchants.com/Fitzgerald. First Merchants Bank, helping you prosper. Member FDIC.
A lot of anxiety, frustration, angst after the Tiger trade deadline. We're going to revisit it after the weekend. 8 o'clock. You saw Morton. You saw Finnegan. Mm-hmm. You saw the Tigers lose 2 of 3. Mixed bag. Do you feel better or worse? Good morning, 97.1. Should be a great day again today. You were out and about all weekend.
I was. We went to the zoo on Saturday, and it was awesome. I shared some video with you guys. The grizzly bears were out right up close to everybody. They were very playful. The sloth bear was out. The polar bear.
See, that's the best bear.
Polar bear was walking back and forth, pacing. I think he was like trying to figure out, okay, what angle do I want to jump in? And Teddy and I were glued to the glass enclosure, and sooner or later he eventually did. He slid down the little stream into the water, and we got video. Teddy's right by the glass and he's swimming by. I'm like, it was unbelievable. And then yesterday was out the Battle of the Badges.
Yeah, you played for both teams.
I did. I was undefeated, by the way. Played for the police department down at the old corner ballpark in game one, which we won. And then switched sides because Darren McCarty was down there as well. So he came over and played with the firemen. I played with the policemen, and the policemen won that game. So I was 2-0.
So did Darren McCarty win either game?
I hope he comes in here and goes old school on you. That would be awesome. It would save me the effort.
Yeah, I understand. No, the reason I was going to ask you is I was just looking at the weather for the day today, and it's going to be, 70s, low 80s. I didn't notice any of this like air quality stuff. Did you while you were out?
I didn't this weekend. And honestly, I know that it's been a thing for a couple of weeks now. Maybe late at night, a couple of nights last week, I noticed a little bit of a haze, but I certainly didn't notice it yesterday down at the corner ballpark. It was beautiful. It wasn't hot. We were on the turf. It was a perfect day to be outside. It's a perfect weekend to be outside. Heather, have you noticed it?
I've noticed it. I have not been affected by it. I've noticed like the haziness a little bit in the air, but it was actually more last week, I feel like. Yeah. It might have been Thursday or Friday that I noticed it the
Obviously,
most.
Those with compromised lungs, asthma, or anything like that, I'm sure they have noticed any change in air quality.
Yeah, they will. But I didn't even really even notice it this weekend.
Yeah.
One thing I did notice this weekend, we'll talk about it at 8:35. Which is...
Oh, I know.
Yes. ChatGPT gone too far.
The sloppers.
The sloppers are out there.
That's what they're called, right?
You were hanging out with some sloppers.
They were around us, I'll put it that way. And no, I didn't call them out. Instead, we'll do it on the radio. Much more effective. 8:35. John, some ticket text on the Lion stuff we brought up. Micah Parsons, not going to be a Lion, but wants out of Dallas. You listed teams with cap space to get it done, and there was one that was noteworthy.
Yes, the Green Bay Packers.
Green Bay Packers. Texter says... Lifelong Packer fan, adding Parsons won't do a whole lot because he would be our only above average player on the entire defense. Gary and Clark, just a bunch of nobodies.
Well, I don't know that their secondary is really anything to write home about, but their defensive front. I'm not going to sit there and say it's anything special, but they've got a bunch of solid players up front. I wouldn't say they're below average.
No, I mean, Rashawn Gary, was he not just listed in the top 100 players in the NFL like 2 weeks ago?
Yeah.
He's a good player, and if they have him on one end and Parsons on the other, it'd be a problem for anybody. Just saying. And they've beaten the Lions more than anybody else in the division the last couple seasons, so it's noteworthy. As a Packers fan, adding Parsons probably pushes our ceiling from 5 to 6 wins. You guys are scared of this team for no reason. We're not going to be any good.
Well, no, there's only one person that's scared of this team.
Who is it?
Well, you think they're a bigger threat than Minnesota is.
Yeah, that's not the same thing as saying I'm scared of the Cheeseheads. Come on now.
No, but I think, even taking some of those ticket texts into context, I don't think that they're a... Yes. I think Minnesota has a much better defense. Now, he's not going to Minnesota, but I'm more worried about Minnesota in this division than I am the Bears or the Packers.
Tex says, means nothing. He's done nothing against the Lions, and we've played Dallas. Penei Sewell owns him. That's Bill driving into work today.
Yeah, we have the ultimate cheat code for Micah Parsons. That is when he's lined up against Penei Sewell. Penei Sewell has owned him. The problem is he's a player, and we've seen this be a trend for a decade now. where you don't just have a guy that rushes over your left tackle or over your right tackle, or he's a guy that can line up anywhere in between as well.
The challenge is he's going to play 15 other games against the not Lions.
Right.
So he will have an impact on those games. Theoretically, he will make the Packers better. And if you're that much closer to being better than the Lions, then
correct.
This is a team that Jim has mentioned that has taken the Lions out a couple times.
And LaFleur can win a playoff game. I mean, look, they're not better than the Lions. They could be a thorn in your side and a thornier side if they added Micah Parsons. Hey, one other Lions note. They were back at the practice field over the weekend. Hendon Hooker was asked about his performance from the Hall of Fame game. Hendon, how would you grade yourself scale 1 to 10? John, honesty?
Or the standards of an NFL quarterback. No, I love his honesty and his self-awareness that he has to go out there and play better. He's going to get the first snaps when they play Atlanta on Friday. And I do expect him to play better. Some of that is just going to simply be he's going to have the script. He's going to get all the one, well, not all the one reps,
two.
But yeah, he'll get the two reps. And as they get closer to game time, he'll get the reps that he needs to prepare himself for this game to try and save his job.
Look, his first year, he's injured. His second year, he was not good enough. They brought in Teddy Bridgewater to be the backup quarterback for the playoffs. This year, hadn't been good enough. It's one stupid preseason game, but we're going to get a couple more of these to evaluate him. But John, as we sit today, he's not good enough to be their backup quarterback, and neither is Kyle Allen. Now, if you don't think backup quarterback's a big deal, I understand. It shouldn't be a big deal. If your starter goes down for any significant amount of time, your season's over.
Yeah.
Having said that, you still want someone who can come in for a quarter, a half, or a game. Give Carson Wentz a call.
I'm would hope that phone call has already been placed. Hey, how's Carson doing? Just tell him we said hi.
Well, the advantage of playing the extra...
We're thinking about you.
Yeah, the advantage of playing the first preseason game is you get the early eval on your team. You can make that quick phone call, but Carson may be waiting. And that's the other part of that conversation. All right, Tiger Baseball, are you feeling better or worse after the deadline? It's 97-1.